The Brooklyn Nets will officially kick off their preseason action on Monday night, and we ask those questions about the big three. Do we need, want, desire, and demand Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons to be out there on the floor together? And if so, what are the expectations not only for them, but also the supporting cast? We break it all down coming up next.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. It is the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Over there, you're going to find Doug Norrie, owner-operator of DFSR, for all your daily fantasy sports rankings from DraftKings to FanDuel. He's got you covered. I am Adam Arbrick, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast with my boy, Andy Mack. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms. And Doug, it's time to talk about Brooklyn Nets basketball. Preseason be darned. This counts. Every single second on the court Monday night matters, and I could not be more excited to talk not only about what to expect from the big three, but I think coming off of last week, knowing that there are going to be some questions and some spots to fill here, some new bodies, there's a lot to start to learn from preseason for the Nets.
Learn. I'm prepared to overreact in every way possible. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of takes. I'm going to formulate most of what I feel about the rest of the season based on the first 15 minutes here.
I
don't see it. Or if not, I mean, sell it all, strip it
full
down
tank
to the studs.
Yeah.
Let's see those 16 on center studs or whatever it is. I'm totally ready for it. I cannot believe it's here. It's awesome. And I think that I'm trying to pump my brakes a little bit on just kind of having a really good outlook here. Everything you've seen and heard from the team over the last week has been, we've talked about it before, you can't really win, but you can lose this time of year, right? Like, and I think that's where they are now. They haven't lost. Like, it's all the quotes have been correct. All the videos you've seen have been correct. That's all you can ask for, is to just be good. Does it mean it's going to be great? No, but think about where we were a year ago at this time when Kyrie can't play and it's the, you know, limited seeding and who even knows what's going to be going on, and the season doesn't feel like it's going to make it all the way through, sort of. And it kind of barely does, you know, by the middle of the fall. So we're just in such a different place here. And I think that is really the storyline. And I think most times preseason is what it is. For the Warriors, does the preseason matter at all? No, right? Like, it doesn't matter a thing. I think in this situation it does. I think there's enough that we don't know about this team right now that while we won't end up making grand proclamations about anything, I think in terms of sort of appointment viewing on preseason games, I think this actually is about as close as you get.
Yeah, you mentioned the Golden State Warriors. It's like any top team in any league, right? The Kansas City Chiefs could lose every preseason game. Not that preseason matters anymore in the NFL, but who cares, right? What do they do when the game starts to matter? And a lot of teams are going to get that leeway, not just based on the talent on their roster, but how the previous season ended, right? The LA Lakers, guess what? You may be curious about what's happening there with old Russell Westbrook and those big players. For the Brooklyn Nets, we know coming out of Media Day last week that Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons talked about it. Looks great. Feels fantastic. These three guys being on the court together. When we were discussing our expectations for this first preseason game, I went back and looked at preseason game number one last year where none of the starters played. It was a big 0-0 burger. Do you think that is different coming into this preseason for the Nets, who have a lot of things, even just from a good vibe standpoint, that they want to showcase? And do you feel like if you don't see the starters, maybe it's a good sign that practice is going well, the cohesion is already developing, and they don't feel compelled to go full systems bore right out of the gates?
No, I think in terms of like the three things that we're looking for here, I think it would be pretty disappointing if they didn't come out with what a close to an approximation of what their starting lineup is going to be. Maybe it's a guy or two different, and that's still okay. But we know those three guys are going to be on the court together, Durant, Kyrie, and Simmons. I think it's pretty important to see them here. I think it's getting as many reps in now is tantamount to like what they need to be able to do. And You can tank these games, and I know last year they did, but they were in a different situation last year. It was the Kyrie thing. Like, Harden was still rehabbing the hamstring. Like, it was, it made a little more sense about why last season they threw out a dummy lineup to be able to get through the game. I don't think that's gonna be the case here. If you look at some of these other games too that have gone off already, like if you look at that Warriors team, they just played a preseason game against the Wizards. They went 15 minutes each for their starters. That's fine, 15 minutes or something like that. For Durant, Kyrie, and Simmons, everyone's cleared to play. Everyone's healthy. That's not a crazy amount of minutes, but we have to see that, I think, to start. Like, I think it would be pretty disappointing if it wasn't at least that coming out of the gate.
At least want to have a little bit of hype, right? We want to have a little bit of hype around these guys.
They just got to play together. Got to play together. Like, this is like, they need live game action. Simmons needs live game action. The guy hasn't played in a year. Like, he needs to.
And I was going to say, too, you know, you think about the fact that Kyrie Irving doesn't get to be out on the court until late last season. He finally comes in for the playoffs. Like, from a conditioning standpoint, we know he's about as close to a turn-it-on guy when you step on the court as anybody, but he still wants to get in there. Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons as well. Specifically with the three of these guys on the floor, over the weekend, Kevin Durant was quoted as saying that transition game, which everybody kind of talked about now with Ben Simmons in the fold here. If we're thinking about, in that 15-minute sample size we may get from them, Kevin mentioned specifically that the little bit of lag time that occurs from a rebound and then getting out in transition when it's a guard going for that rebound versus someone like Ben Simmons, who obviously is bigger, is obviously stronger, is more physical. So that element of this game, it looks like everyone's collectively talking about it. It's what the skill set would dictate is going to be a big part of their offense. I'll be interested to see how the board crashing and transition game looks here when you now have three guys. And then even inside of the starting lineup, the other players around them are all going to be able to get out and run. This should look like a pretty fast tempo offensive team right out of the gates.
Yeah, look, it's still preseason. You don't need to throw everything against the wall here. I think, you know, there's no reason to get hurt. There's no reason to overdo it. But reps and time on court together is going to matter. We've seen small clips of what's been happening there in the practice facility. I mean, it looks good. The bad stuff's not going to be released. So you always take it with a grain of salt, obviously. But yeah, a chance to see like what might be something like a style that they want to, that they're like pushing, which would this be like, say, push the pace, get out with speed. It's funny that this game is against Philly. We haven't really talked too much about that piece, but if there was any two teams that like non-accidentally were playing together very, you know, soon into the season, getting Harden, getting Simmons here, getting Embiid, getting all these guys together and having them play, this is the other reason you kind of hope it's this group is out there for the first one. By all accounts, Harden is healthy too and everything. So I think from that point, look, we don't need to go crazy about it, but I would like to see stylistically a difference out of the gate also. Like something that's being, because it's like not one of these things like, oh, you don't have to show them what you have. No, getting out in transition is not, you know, turning your cards over after the flop and being like, let's see what happens. Like this is not that. So it's like you can just have a sense that you want to play with pace, and because that's what you're going to be doing, because that's where your bread is going to be buttered when it comes to the season. I think showing that early would be nice too, without going nuts about it, right? And we don't need to be super competitive, and they don't need to win this game, and they don't need to go out and play 30 minutes, which they're not going to do. But you'd like to at least see some of it to start, because I think it would start to lay to rest some initial concerns, because again, these are all still question marks.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned about not giving away what the game plan is going to be. I know Brooklyn Nets fans will get in the chat on YouTube and say, what game plan? There's never been an offensive system for this team. But it'll be fun to also see inside of this sample size, how often is it Simmons maybe in the transition? And this could all be by happenstance. Who happens to get the rebound, and how do the three players work off one another in those instances, right? Kyrie Irving, as we've said, you want him off ball as much as possible. But how does this look different when you have Ben Simmons with Kevin Durant running in the transition with Kyrie Irving, right? So I think those little hints that we can get about facilitation, about offensive tempo, and maybe when it comes to Kevin Durant as well, how much does this free him up? Especially, I'm going to keep in the transition game. How much easier does it make it for Kevin Durant where he's not going to have to come back necessarily to get the ball at all? He can, on defensive rebounds, look to already be leaking out and getting himself in the position on the court that he wants to be. So I think there's going to be hints. I'll put it that way, right? Little hints or footsteps about where we think this team could go during the season. That's going to be more than enough for me. And ideally, it looks comfortable. Doesn't have to look elite. Doesn't have to look without its hiccups and, you know, a couple of maybe passes behind someone's back as they're not looking running down the floor. But just knowing that some of those samples are coming into fruition.
Yeah, for sure. I want to make one little note about Kyrie that you said here, but here in a second, and then we're going to get into some of the other things that we're looking for when it comes to this preseason game. First, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. Feels high stakes for this preseason game too. You want to be 100% that you have to that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Hiring people these days, look, you know what it can be like. It can be something of just kind of a crapshoot. Not with the gab LinkedIn Jobs. You add your job to the purple hashtag hiring frame in your LinkedIn profile. You spread the word that you and your company are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and ultimately hire. You wade through a lot of that noise. LinkedIn Jobs helps you do that. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one. I'm a math guy. Number one's pretty good in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you to find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about that starting five-man lineup that we anticipate. And we know, we talked about last week, Seth Curry, we're waiting to see, will he be ready for the regular season? Obviously, if he shows up at some point over the preseason, we'll feel good about it. TJ Warren, more of a wait and see. But what was your point on Kyrie before we look at a little bit of Royce O'Neal, Nicholas Claxton?
This is so minor, but you were saying Kyrie likes to play off ball. I just clarifying this, because I don't think you meant that. Kyrie likes to play off ball until the matchup's perfect, right? Like, we're saying that Kyrie,
Yes. Until he looks across the court and goes, ooh, he's mine. I'll go ahead and take that rock.
I know you didn't mean this, but just because I know someone was going to come back and say he doesn't like the play. Of course, he's like one of the best on-ball guys like in the history of basketball. Yeah. Hates to dribble. It's that we saw how good the offense was when he wasn't initiating all the offense, right? Yes. When you get him into the perfect matchups that he could just cook, that's all. And I think Simmons is going to offer that possibility. So I was just clarifying that one minor
statement. Difference between initiating offense versus playing off-ball. Good for you to bring that up. Take that, internet comments. The other thing then is we talk about the initial starting lineup. We saw this in the practice and people caught that you had Royce O'Neal along with Nicholas Claxton in the starting five. The curiosity here, and this is for the first game and then also going forward, do we think that now with the absence of a Seth Curry, at least initially, you know, are the Nets going to try to figure something out around that when it comes to Joe Harris? What do you anticipate it not being Joe Harris in the starting five?
I think they might start Royce O'Neal here. I think that they have like the working Harris back into the mix off the ankle as a little bit of an excuse to try it, right? Sure. Like say, hey, look, you haven't played. Royce played. We're getting your sea legs under you here. It's not like a Simmons. It's not the same thing. I know he's 100% cleared to play, right? But I think that they have the opportunity to try this without probably ruffling any feathers. As of this podcast, we are recording Saturday evening, and that's why we haven't seen these two other preseason games. I'm only saying this because there's some chance that they announce the starting lineup between now and the times this posted, and that would be the only reason that this like would sound different than what's been actually happening. As of right now, we have not seen anything that I believe that has shown what their starting lineup is going to be. I think that trying Royce out with this group is okay, is fine. I think defensively you get a lot out of that group. He can shoot the three enough. He's not Joe Harris, but that's okay. Like, I don't think he needs to be in terms of just like, I mean, he shot 40% or 39% last year from three. Like, look, Harris is like one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA. So saying you're not Joe Harris is not a knock on you. But I think trying that group defensively makes a lot of sense, and there's like no harm in it. And again, you can always just work under the Harris is coming off double ankle surgeries and hasn't played for a long time, and we'll just see how it goes. And I think that he could end up starting also. I just think for this game, we knew that group was running together in practice. By all accounts, it looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, getting those new guys feet wet underneath them is fine too. And if it's Harris, it's Harris. And I don't think you'll lose much. I mean, maybe you gain it. I don't think that's a problem either.
Do you fundamentally think that in this preseason game is not going to tell it? This is a narrative we can follow across the preseason. Do you fundamentally think that the Brooklyn Nets may be shifting their mentality towards, with Royce O'Neal in this instance, the best possible defensive unit along with Kevin Durant, with Kyrie Irving? And it's not taking it away from Kevin Durant's defensive value, but just saying, hey, if we have Nicholas Claxton, Ben Simmons, and Royce O'Neal, plus Kevin Durant's length and the pesky effort of Kyrie Irving, our mentality might be, let's frustrate you early defensively, and then we bring in the waves of Joe Harris and Seth Curry to start to bury you as we feel like we're progressing through.
Yeah, they have a lot of optionality here. It was just not something, I mean, at least to start the season, which is not something that they had last year. They're still probably a ball handler short, depending on what you feel about Sumner. That's just probably the way.
He's an interesting one to watch.
That's just the way it's going to be. The only other note about that, I'm going to get into this in 1 second. I will say Alex Schiffer from The Athletic did report that Nash had said that there was no decision on who was going to be playing on game day, and they weren't going to decide till Monday. So that's just the official word out of Nash's mouth. I just think that, like, if you bring in shooters, it's always good to bring in shooters. And when you have guys like Simmons in particular, and then when you just have guys like Durant and Kyrie who have so much on-court gravity to them, where, like, you just have to have a defender on you all times, and you have to shade defenders their way too, or otherwise, because they're going to be able to beat every primary defender basically in basketball to some degree. Having shooters around those guys is always going to help this group, right? And so even if you bring Harris on, I think there's so many ways to manage this this grouping, at least the top eight guys, where you can, like, you know, you bring out Royce O'Neal and then you put in Harris. Are you losing anything? No, in some ways you're gaining, right? Like, you're gaining on being able to spread the floor even more. He's just a better shooter. Obviously, he's not as good of a defender. And then the idea, like, so what they ran into last year was, if you didn't have Kyrie and KD on the court at all times, like, everything took such a huge hit. Like, it was just, it was such a problem. And at least to start this season, even without Seth, they don't, even just adding Simmons just means they just have one more guy on the court that can, like, create something. And so there's so many fewer problems with it. So I do think that's going to be the group. I hope to see that group, because I want to just see what it looks like. If it was Harris, fine. I do think right now we're probably locked into Simmons and Claxton together, at least to start, and then we'll go from there. Would you agree with that? Like, look, we're kind of all guessing at this. Think Claxton starts?
I can't see a world where the opportunities, we know going back to the trade deadline, didn't work out, but he was with the team. They brought him back. It just feels like they want to afford every opportunity for him to be successful in his role and to see how impactful it could be. Whatever these other players, we're going to talk about Markieff Morris and other guys that were brought in this offseason, but on paper, Nicholas Claxton and Ben Simmons together, paired with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and presumably Royce O'Neal, it creates a really dangerous defensive unit that we know can be explosive. And I'll just quickly touch on the idea of offensively, what do you lose potentially in that lineup? And this is for preseason and regular season. Don't forget, Kevin Durant shot 38% from beyond the arc last year. Kyrie Irving is a 39, almost 40% shooter from beyond the arc as well. Like, we talk about guys that are specifically built to be sharpshooters. Also, your two best players are very adept at that. And what this looks like in the five-man lineup with Ben Simmons, that's what's so fascinating about this first preseason game. It's, where are they spaced out on the floor? We know that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are kings of the mid-range game, but how will it look differently with Nicholas Claxton and Ben Simmons affording to occupy the bigger bodies, affording to congest and clog the lane a little bit more, and let them kind of play off of it? Like, I think we're going to learn a lot of, not in this, maybe this one game, but we're going to start to learn a lot about how they're going to implement their defense and offensive units. And this team could look very different just by the one very big change of adding Ben Simmons into it. He can have a very big ripple effect that maybe we're not going to understand fully until we do get all the way to the regular season.
I'll tell you right now, if these guys aren't the start, I'm already feeling it right now. If this isn't the starting group, they do one of those starting groups like last year. Like, wait, just make sure you tune in for Tuesday morning's podcast, because I'm going to be off the rail.
Patty Mills, starting guard.
It's like Alondis Williams, Yuta Watanabe, Markieff Morris. It's like, no.
By the way, those are guys that we want to get into here in a second as well. The young players, and then also the additions. I mentioned Markieff Morris. You mentioned Yuta Watanabe. Just, what do we anticipate trying to get sample sizes on players we're familiar with from last year, and then some of those new bodies as well?
For sure. We'll talk about that to close things out. First, betonline.net, your number one source for football betting info this season. Look, if you're not covering these guys on Football Sunday, I don't really know what to tell you. I have Football Saturdays too. BetOnline, it's got all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, analysis on every game you can find. BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Like I said, too, they got the early NBA stuff already up there. Brooklyn, -4 against the Pelicans. Take that, Zion. Not really thinking much of you. It's getting back into the season. Brooklyn, -4. It was 5.5, so dropped a little. -4 to start the season over there on BetOnline. Head on over to BetOnline.net. You'd learn about all the trends, all the different action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So where we start when we get beyond the starters for the Brooklyn Nets is we had this combination, guys that were brought in the offseason and then familiar young talent. Let's do the combination of the both and because I think it flexes across who's here and then who's been brought in. We talk about Nicholas Claxton and Ben Simmons, assuming that that they are the starting among the starters there. We're obviously talking about Nicholas Claxton. Behind Nicholas Claxton then, behind Ben Simmons, speaking of things I'm getting bullish on, I'll hope to see a decent sample size from De'Ron Sharpe in this game to indicate that he has a role to whatever level it's going to be, that he has one. And then the other big boy is going to be Markieff Morris. Like, do you think that seeing both of these guys maybe get 10 to 15, whichever way it skews for each of them, would be an indication that this is the start of the balance of the way these rotations flesh out? They both have roles.
Yeah, I think one thing you will see, I mean, one thing we probably can figure out is like who has inside tracks to make the team. Like that has been something.
Right,
that
right.
Has
where's
been,
the cutoff? Yeah.
Yeah, this has been pretty consistent for the Nets in the preseason, going back to last year and the year before, is that like they've brought in other guys. Guys who weren't going to make the team didn't really play. And that is not 100%, but like, you know, Bowden and Rochelle last year, Rochelle just actually brought back this year, but Exhibit 10? I can't remember what kind of contract. They just signed it.
So, yeah.
Anyway, point being, like, it doesn't – these other really bottom-of-the-chain guys like Chioza and David Duke, like, I don't know if we're going to see those guys, Alondis Williams, Zagorowski. I'm using these names to say they're in camp. Most of them will either end up with Long Island or just kind of not – or out there on waivers or something. They've been pretty consistent with the guys who do get time here are going to break camp with the team. There are not infinity preseason games. They already probably kind of know who is going to make it.
You can't waste minutes here.
Yeah, like you don't have to have a problem running Durant and Kyrie 15 minutes because like you know what you're getting there. These other guys, they've been pretty consistent here. I do find it interesting. It will be interesting to see. I think we probably will see Markieff Morris. I think Yuta, I'm not sure about. Like, that one is going to be... Here's what I'll tell you right now. This will be one of our takeaways. Like, this will be one of our takeaways for Tuesday's podcast when the game is over, because we are going to talk about which guys
are not
going to
be part
play.
Of this team.
Yes, because that matters. Yeah. Short of an injury, this stuff at this point usually matters. Because you have to bring in a certain amount of guys. You want to get looks at them. You want to see who you want to bring to Long Island. You want to see, you know, if you caught lightning in a bottle with a guy. But for the most part, like, they kind of are going to know. And then we will subsequently know about them. And I think Markieff is probably one of the guys that's there. He was talking just about his timeline signing with the team. It sounded like that had been in the works for a while. I don't think we should read too much into, like, that signing came late. I think that was more about the KD situation more than anything else. And so,
By the way, just real quick, did you hear his response when they asked him about the offseason and what was going on? Were you concerned about it? Did it give you any hesitation? Did you hear his response?
Well, it was the one where he called the Nets soft.
No. It was where he's like, yeah, big deal. He's like, you know, big deal. People fight. Married people fight. You know how many times I fought with my wife? He's like, sure. He's like, maybe I left the house a couple times, but I never fully moved out. He's like, eh, whatever. Like, he's like, blew past it. And even that in of itself was like, eh, this is why you want this kind of guy around the team. Like, he's like, yeah, I don't care. Let's
he
go
called
here.
The team, of whom a lot of the guys are still on the team, he called them all soft. Like, he's like, yeah, they were soft. Everyone knew it. But hey, I'll take that. They need that. The Nets need a couple guys like this. Like,
inside the locker room who's saying, yes. Hey, you know what? We're not a hard out. We are not a drag you out kind of team. I'm here, Markieff Morris, to be the guy that says, hey, buddy, you got to kind of tighten this up a little bit. People are looking across. I was in another locker room last year. We knew exactly what you were about.
This
over
is what
here.
Everyone and, said about you.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, so, but like, it's also a thing. Like, I'm on the team now. I think the implication is I'm on the team now, and I love attitudes like this because I have none of this personally. But right. the guys are like, but I'm on the team now, so no one's going to say that about us. Like, I think right. That's the implication also. And so the Nets desperately needed someone like that, like last year. And even from within their own locker room, if you heard of how Dragic was talking afterwards, I mean, all these guys say it afterwards, but Dragic was like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase here. He was like, it was a mess, right? It was a mess. And that's like a long time veteran. He's a little ornery, but who cares? He's kind of saying this thing was off the rails. And so they need guys like this. They need a toughness. Even if a guy's going to play not that much, having someone on the team that will, I hate the word enforcer because I think it's usually used incorrectly, but in this case, I'll say it's some kind of enforcer, some kind of guy with attitude, some kind of guy that like believes that the 10 minutes that he plays will be the best 10 minutes in the history of basketball. Like, you need guys like that every once in a while.
Every 10 minutes he plays in a game is the last 10 minutes of his career, right? That's how they play. That's the energy that they bring. No, 100%. So I appreciate that from that. You blew past my De'Ron Sharpe question. That's neither here nor there.
Oh, sorry. However, what was that one?
No, just if I think that he'll be in the rotation, which we'll come to find out. But you did.
I hope so. I just drafted him in our experts Raz Jam league that has all the industry, and yeah, that's got a lot of upside in De'Ron Sharpe. I'm coming around on him playing like 10 to 15 minutes, maybe.
There we go. The other thing is too here. So as you said, getting some sample size here. You mentioned a couple of names. So you have the starting five as we think it's going to be. So then you add in Joe Harris. You have Patty Mills. You're going to have De'Ron Sharpe, Markieff Morris. So you're already filling out into 10, 11, and 12 bodies. The interesting thing I think for me is you did mention Yuta, and if we want to confirm whether or not I think this guy could have a role, TJ Warren not being available well into November, that means that Yuta Watanabe, if he doesn't play in the first preseason game, go ahead and earmark him for not being on this roster.
Yeah, totally. Between him and Curry, like if Warren and Curry aren't going to play here, then, which they probably aren't, like, I totally agree with you. Like, if he doesn't, we can just sign and seal it. I think that'd be it for him.
Do you then need to also, when we take a look at this roster, obviously, you know, backcourt-wise, when we talk about Patty Mills, you expect him, obviously, he has his role. But then you get to Cam Thomas, and you even mentioned, like, Alondez Williams, DDJ, maybe DDJ more specifically here. It was weird. He thought maybe he was going to find another place, comes back on the two-way. Do you think it's more than likely that we find out DDJ, you're going to be a Long Island guy to start the season, and we're more looking at what is the role of a Cam Thomas in this first preseason game, and then the other guy who had a big role last year, Kessler Edwards, is he buried effectively? He's not going to go down to Long Island, but he will be buried on this bench potentially.
Yeah, I think he's probably buried. I don't know. I think Cam will see minutes because I think they're still invested in trying to figure out where the team option goes with him over the next 2 years. So I think that, like, you have to have incentive to play. I mean, I guess Kessler is in the same kind of team option territory, so you probably want to be able to figure it out. I don't know if you know too much from the preseason here. I do think, like, those guys are candidates to play here, though, like 10 to 15 minutes. I think those guys are on the list more than, like I said before, the Raekwon Grays, the Chris Chiozas. Duke is interesting.
He's a little bit of a ball handler, a little bit of length at the guard. You know, it's like he almost gives you what you would want to put into that guard room. We don't know for sure that he can do it with consistency.
And if you watch some of the videos, he was running in those 5-on-5s with those other guys. And so, I mean,
he's like my sneaky one too.
We only got caught such limited minutes of that, but he was part of those groups. And so I thought that was interesting. It could have just been because they were like needing guards or like kind of needing two guards at that point.
Let me ask you something to close out here for this first preseason game. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. But would you be more interested in understanding what Cam Thomas is right now? Would you be more interested and intrigued if you got more of a sample size from DDJ in the idea, like, his skill set could be applicable as a rotation player? Whereas Cam Thomas, understanding he can be a spark plug, but maybe he does end up further down this depth chart than at any point last season because of who they brought in and how they're constructing things.
Nah, I think with me, with guys like this, I'm always more interested in, and firepower. Look, we haven't gone crazy with Cam Love on this podcast. This is not where this is coming from. I personally am always more intrigued by a guy who I already know does one NBA thing really well. and Cam does already do that. Like, he can score one, like he can kind of score one-on-one at already an NBA level. So we already know that. And so at that point, I'm more interested in trying to figure that guy out. It's almost like the De'Ron. Like, what do we know he does well? We know he rebounds at an elite level, right? So at that point, if you already do one thing completely adequately at the NBA level, which those guys do, I personally think you should be more incentivized to, again, continue to figure those guys out because you already covered one thing. With Duke, I mean, what does he do really well? He doesn't shoot the three. He can kind of get to the basket in the summer league. I don't think, like, that's something he's going to, as part of his, like, huge profile. He's a fine defender. He's got tons of energy. If you want to put that as like an NBA skill set, he has energy. I'm not sure it's totally there. So I guess this is not a knock on him, by the way.
No, I know what you, but I do know
he was great
to
watch.
Though.
And at that point where you are with these guys, they have to already showcase one skill that can translate. And I'm not sure he's done that yet.
Yeah. So we're obviously going to want to see how Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant play in this game at the top. We want to confirm the starting five-man lineup and how some of these rotations start to flesh out. But I think you touched on something really important there when it comes to the young players. Cam Thomas, what is the phase two of your growth and development, right? Yeah. When you get in the game, do you show being capable of running the offense a little bit, setting some people up, just moving the ball around, right? Making the right basketball play, as we sometimes say. De'Ron Sharp, you're rebounding the ball like an animal. Are you able to handle it a little bit going into transition, as all the other bigs will seemingly be able to do for this team? Do you have a little bit of a mid-range something in your, like, right? What is the next phase for these young guys? That'll determine whether or not the veterans that were brought in this offseason are more likely to be higher in the pecking order as we get to the season.
And for Cam, we'll close out here, but for Cam, honestly, hit threes at an NBA level, and that would be good enough next thing.
Yeah, by the way, that might be the next phase, right? You can score, but go ahead and be a sharpshooter like the other guys that matter most around these stars.
Forget the defense and all that other stuff. Like, he's a complete turnstile. Like, but that's okay. Hit, if you can already do the other thing, and then if you could just hit catch and shoot threes he's below replacement on three-point shooting. So,
really good point.
He can just do that, then I think we're having a different conversation. That's his problem, is you can't. It's like he's not even a complete offensive player. He's good on offense in certain situations, but he's not a complete offensive player by any stretch of the imagination. So do this one thing at an acceptable level on three attempts a game or something, and then we're having a different thing. Something that is a place that I think is an area that we could see some growth for him. All right.
I'm going to have 9,000 thoughts on Tuesday morning, guys, just to be clear. 9,000 thoughts, no less.
We're going to be, I will say probably almost definitely, there's a good chance we'll just we'll do YouTube live right after the first preseason game, then the podcast will come in the morning. So with that in mind, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, Locked On Nets. We're growing at a rate that is faster than we've ever grown before. It makes sense because if we get into the season, be part of the group that is checking us out on YouTube. I'll leave a link in the show notes. And like I said, very good chance that we will Adam just flashed something for you YouTube people. Very good chance that we will come at we'll do a live right after the first preseason game. And so make sure you subscribe on YouTube.
Big time clarification. That was a figurine that I flashed, nothing else. Oh. It was just a figurine.
It's so funny when you can see something and then in your mind, that's just what it is. It's a Kevin Durant Funko thing. So
we will get out of here on this note. A gesture of celebration or greeting in which two people slap each other's open palm with their arms raised. The definition of a high five.
Oh. That's just, what's that, Webster's?
Webster's, or, Wikipedia.
No, one of the all-time great American poets. Yeah, that was part of that's a reference to our high five metric that we're going to start using. How many times Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons high five will tell us all we need to know about how the rest of the season will go. That is all for us. We'll be back again later this week after the game, talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.